You're listening to the Lead 'Em Up Podcast.
Thank you for hanging with us today. I'm Adam alongside Leon. And Leon, as we were getting going here in prep for today's recording, you kind of teed up a theme for us to kind of uncover in this episode, which got my attention because it is a very, well, one, it's very practical for many leaders because many leaders are in that position. And it does require a little bit of a different strategy. Leon, where are we going today?
Yeah, I want to kind of talk about, you know, some of the best things for coaches to do when they have a great team, but the team is, you know, sort of missing that talent aspect. You know, it comes a time in every coach's, you know, just walk of, you know, coaching journey, you know, their career where, you know, they may run into a season where, you know, recruiting wasn't as strong, you know, or simply, you know, you have a season ahead that you're just missing the most important thing when it comes to competing, you know, just overall competing. And you may just be missing that talent. You know, like you have enough players, you have enough people at each position, but you're having a hard time of, you know, just simply figuring out, you know, who's going to start, you know, who's going to be a part of the starting five or the starting 11, you know, depending on what sport you play. And the fact of the matter is, you know, you have enough people, but you just don't know if you have enough talent on the squad that's going to cover those positions. So I kind of want to talk about, you know, what do you do when you have a team, you have a great team, but you're missing that one thing, that talent to compete, you know. I look at it as if it's an opportunity, you know, and I think of not having that talent. I think of, you know, this is your moment to shine as a coach, you know, instead of saying, you know, what you don't have, you know, pay attention to what you do have as a coach. You know, I think that one of the biggest ways to fail as a leader is to focus on what you don't have. And, you know, it's counterproductive, you know, and I know there may be some coaches out there who are maybe walking into this season like, man, all of my seniors are gone. You know, I got a group full of freshmen. What am I supposed to do with this? So I kind of want to navigate through the thoughts on, you know, what do we do when we're missing that talent?
You know, it's always because it does change the dynamic. It changes the communication. It changes the expectations. It changes how maybe you are positioning some things. Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting whenever we work with a team. In fact, we were just on a Zoom call with a coach, football coach. And, you know, we always ask the question, hey, like, what's the on-field potential this year? Because, yeah, you know, we want to do our thing. We're going to do our thing through Lead 'Em Up, but, you know, like, where are we starting? You know, like what's this looking like? And we ask that question because based on where they're at, it does require you to adjust slightly. And I think that's part of demonstrating emotional intelligence and leadership of coaching that, you know, if I've got a team that is right on the cusp, you know, maybe we were runners up last year in the States and we're coming back and we're bringing a team, like, there's a different tone. There's a different kind of conversation in that space as opposed to a team that, frankly, man, if we even sniff 500, yeah, man, I'm going to be happy. Yeah. I'm going to be happy. So it's really interesting. But here's where I go with this. I think even more so in these moments where you're lacking talent, you have to be reminded, at least for me, my grading scale on coaching is not through the traditional lens that the majority of community, parents, outsiders judge it, which is always wins, losses.
Yep.
Oh, yep. I mean, that is the scoreboard, literally speaking, for coaches. But primarily it is the scoreboard for individuals on the outside looking in who don't get it, who just don't understand it. You know, they've got limited understanding. So they just go, how'd you do this year? Oh, 3-13. Oh, you're no good. But when you're in it, which, coach, you're in it, you're in it more than anybody.
100%.
You know, I look at the grading scale so different. I look at it all based on the benchmark of potential. And either did we, one of three places, did we reach it? That's one. Did we exceed it? That's the second option. Or did we come in short of it? Those are the three levels. And I believe every coach every year, whether you have talent or not, needs to be assessing their coaching performance based on those three dynamics. All right, I had this potential in the room. Maybe it's state championship level potential. Maybe it's sniffing the playoff potential. Maybe it's sniffing 500 potential. Maybe it's, man, if we get a win potential.
Yeah.
Whatever that potential is, and be realistic with it. Now, if you succeed it, you did it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Man, if you have a 5-win potential team and you won 8, fantastic coaching job. Fantastic coaching job.
Yeah. Yeah.
5 wins is your goal and you hit 5. Okay, you met it. Man, 5 wins was your goal, your ceiling you thought potential wise, and you got 3, you failed it.
Yeah.
You gotta grade it through that lens. Whether you have talent or not. And I think even in moments where you don't have talent, if you're viewing it through that lens and using that as the driver, the motivator, kind of the benchmark, well, now you've got this own internal competition that you've got to try to surpass.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, man, that's so good. Viewing it through the lens of potential. It's sort of like when you view it that way, you're able to, as a coach, you're able to give your athletes a plan for their ability, based on their ability, you know, giving them something they can be great at. You know, they may not be great at other things, but what can they be great at? You know, if they have the ability to run a pick and roll, you know, guess what? Let's be the greatest pick and roll team in the league. Right? You remember Utah Jazz, John Stockton, Carmelo? Mm.
they were my NBA jam.
Right.
You remember that game?
Yeah, Jeff Hornacek, come on, man. Come on. The greatest pick and roll team. Why? Because you've given them a plan for their ability based on their potential. And I think that's so powerful, you know, for us as coaches, you know, recognize what you have. You know, don't pay attention to what you don't have.
Do you think coaches should be real about that? Like, should they be real? Or... should they keep trying to paint a picture that maybe isn't the most accurate display?
No, quick story. You stopped me in my tracks on this. Man, I remember just going in. You know me, I'm excited. You call me the rock star of Lead 'Em Up. You know, I go in and, you know, I'm going into these teams that I've never
seen. He creates a following, friends. He creates a following, the rock star.
As the rock star, I come in thinking that, you know, whatever team I'm going to speak to, we can win and we can win. We can go all the way. And I remember one day you stopped me in my tracks like, you know, some of these teams, they may not have the talent that could take them all the way. So maybe you should kind of dial back on, you know, or not even really dial back, but just simply ask the question, yo, coaches, you know, what do you think the potential is? You know, what do you think that is? And I think that helped me as a leader. Because oftentimes I would go into these rooms and I would build these players up. They'd walk out of there motivated to try to win a state championship and they don't have the tools to do it. And here I am. I just came in and, you know, gave them false hope, you know, not really false hope, but just like kind of like, yo, I've overdone, you know, I've gone beyond what their ability is. So I think being real, being honest with, you know, where you are as a team is so important because that's the thing that helped me as a leader, you know, coming in and, you know, thinking I have a state championship team and I can talk them to it. And they're like, wait, hold up. We just want to win one game. Let's take a time here.
And that's so true. And I remember the exact day I think you're referencing.
Yeah, you remember. Yeah.
I remember the exact day. And then I get where you come from when you start out. You're like, hey, raise your hand if you want a championship.
Let's right?
Go. You'll do things like that. Or raise your hand if you think, you know. And I remember like watching the players when you asked that, and this was years ago, right? So like, and I remember watching the players and like, they kind of like barely put their hand up a little bit. Cause in their mind, they're thinking like, like coach, like we aren't even thinking championship. We're not even in that mindset. Like, wow. Like that's not where we're at.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I remember being, you know, we discussed that afterwards, but I learned that the hard way too, because not going to say the school, but I did a coach's kickoff with a new school that you've done a campus day with. And I was doing the coach's training with them, kind of introducing them to Lead 'Em Up. And I did myself a disservice according to this one particular coach where, man, I dropped some of the teams that we work with. I dropped the names of some of the teams we work with. And long story short, this team, this particular school in the county is the lowest tier from a success standpoint. Lowest tier on the resources, lowest tier on the wins. Like, it's a challenge working at this particular school. I'll just put it like that without saying the school name. And then you got other schools in the county, in the same county, that got like more resources than they even know what to do with. They've got parental community support that's just through the roof. They win. They're always there, right? Their kids play club and probably have personal trainers. You see where I'm going with the disparity there, okay? Yeah. And I remember just dropping the names of some of these bigger programs, these winning programs that we work with. And there was a female coach that came to me at the end that said, man, you lost me the moment you started talking about them. And I said, really? Like, help me understand. I'm like, you know, what do you mean? Will you go a little deeper on that? Mm-hmm. She goes, because it made me feel like you have no clue what we're dealing with here. We don't have half of what those programs have from an engagement, from a financial, from a club, youth, feeder, sis, like all the different dynamics. She goes, we don't even have half. You lost all credibility in my book the moment you started talking about them to us.
Wow.
And I was like, whoa. Yeah. And this was early on, and she was right.
Yeah.
She was right. And it kind of makes me think that, like, man, the conversation has to change. If the talent and the resources aren't there, we've got to be realistic to your point where we're at. And we've got to just change the entire narrative of our conversation that, like, it's not about the championships. It's not about this, you know, winning it all and things of that nature. It's, man, first of all, how do we create an environment here that helps us get the most out of what we have?
Yeah, that's so good. That's so good. I never thought of it from that angle, you know. That kind of stopped me in my tracks just now, just thinking, yo, maybe I should stop, because I do that as well. Kind of name drop, you know, just to let people know, you know, let schools know that, you know, we're credible. This program works. And if it worked for them, it can also work for us as well, you know. And but firmly,
I think we've got to tell the story on both sides of it.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
And I think that's the key. And because, I mean, I worked with a school about 4 years ago, right after COVID. That basketball team, we're 0-27. We did not win a game.
Wow.
We did not win a game. And holy smokes, did I so desperately and badly want those kids to win a game. Oh my gosh. Game began to emphasize it enough, man. There were a couple really close calls. And you get to that point, you're just like begging. Like, please get us a win. We need it so bad.
Yeah.
But frankly, there just wasn't the talent.
Yeah.
There wasn't the talent. They just didn't have the shooters. They didn't have the sides, you know, they're outmanned in every game. And so when you think about that, that almost kind of is a perfect example in this conversation of like, well, how do you lead when your team doesn't have the talent?
Yeah.
You know, and for there, you know, yes, it may sound trivial that like, you've got to like create different types of wins. But that's one of the most powerful things you're going to have to do. You're going to have to create different types of wins. You're going to have to paint wins of, hey, we lost by 28 to this team early in the season, and then we lost by 11, but yet we were only down by 3 with 3 minutes left going into that fourth quarter. Like, that's a win, right? Mm-hmm. We painted a win in that season of 0-27 that nobody quit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nobody quit.
Crowned on our watch. Yeah, come on, lifeguard. Yeah.
Like, everyone stayed the course, man. You know how many kids probably, you know how much heat they probably took in the hallways, how embarrassed to their ego that they probably experienced. But like, we were able to keep an engagement level of just connectedness in that team that nobody quit. That's a win.
It is a win. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Just recognizing the small wins, like recognizing, like as a coach, you may not have the talent, but you do have their will. You know, they're there. They want to show up. That's a win. That's a small win. Like you can do a lot with a group of people who are willing to participate, you know, and I think that's so important, just recognizing those small victories, because once you recognize it, it's then going to allow you to value it just a little bit more, a little bit differently. You know, I'm a firm believer that, you know, when you don't know the value of a thing, all you ever do is abuse it. You know, when you don't know the value. But as a coach, if you have a team that doesn't have the talent, you can still value it in different ways. You know, my little may not be much, but it'll be plenty once I'm finished with it. And if you can continue to instill that into your players, I think you're going to take them to a new level. But just finding new victories in different things, like creating different types of wins, that's so powerful.
I love the challenges. I also think there's so much power in individual growth challenges. I think can be a really powerful tool. If you have got a team without talent, like, you know, you've got a player who is averaging 1.2 steals a game and you're just like challenging them. Like, man, I need you to get over the 2.5 steals a game average. Yep. Bro, like, oh man, I want to see you do that. Right. And all of a sudden now, like, yo, I got you, coach. Like, they're not even thinking about the wins and losses. Like, that's like,
yeah.
Because listen, we're probably not going to win. But, like, I'm creating this engagement. I'm creating these individual challenges. I think that's where you see a lot of teams. A lot of them have it. But I think even more on a team that the winning may not be there is those, like, intangible charts or those effort charts where you get graded and scored on things that are, like, the intangibles.
Effort, right?
Effort, hustle. Diving for loose balls, high fives on the bench, things of that nature. So critical. I remember we started Lead 'Em Up, the school you and I went to, Watkins Mill High School, back in 2014. Yeah. That was the first ever team. Lead 'Em Up didn't officially start until 2015, but we did that team first. And I mean, frankly, they didn't have, I mean, they had talent, but they weren't like competing with the big boys.
They weren't
competing with the big boys, but they had talent, but expectations needed to change. And I'll never forget, man, my tagline that I used that year, knowing 6-4 would probably be like the peak of our potential that year.
Mm-hmm,
right.
Mm-hmm.
But probably 4-6 was probably where we were going to be, you know, man, my tagline, make them work.
Yeah.
Make them work.
Yeah.
Make them work. I remember we had Damascus High School come to the mill one day. Damascus High School had been on this, like, if you're familiar with anything to do with Maryland high school football, Damascus during this time period of, like, man, probably 2000, probably about 20. Well, they did just have a state championship win not that long ago, but like there was a decade where they actually were setting records. Like they'd won like 40 in a row. Okay. Like powerhouse. They had a guy named Jake Funk.
Yeah.
Josh's brother, right. Who went to Maryland and now he's in the NFL, who was just, this guy, Jake Funk, man, he rushed for, I think in the state championship game at Navy, he rushed for like 280 and like 5 touchdowns.
Wow.
Crazy, like beast. They come in and they won 30 in a row. Whole theme all week. Man, make them work.
Make them work. Yeah.
Make them work. Like, hey, regardless of outcome, here's our goal. We are going to make them work.
Yeah, that's good.
And we were only down 14-0 at halftime. And I know that sounds crazy.
Yeah.
Sounds crazy, like that I'm praising the fact that we were losing 14-0. But you know, when you go against powerhouse high school football teams, it is not even a thing to be down 42-0 at half, 49-0 at half, right? 21-0 at the end of the first, things of that nature. We're down 14-0 at halftime. Boy, our boys walked off that field with an energy. Because you could tell it was not coming easy for them.
Yeah.
Just wasn't coming easy for them. Yeah. Like, we're making them work. And like, that was a strategy, almost became a motto that we lived into, just make them work. Listen, we may not win every game, but boy, when you come and face us, we're going to make you work. And I think these are the type of angles you have to begin to kind of tap into when you've got a team that frankly is willing, to your point, but just doesn't have the talent to produce. You've got to create these individual challenges. You've got to be real with them and almost shift the perspective and really fight for the potential.
Yeah.
And really earn to see if we can win that victory.
That's so good. Make them work. And I think on the flip side of that is, when you think about making the players work, it's also making the coach work. Like, this is why I say it's an opportunity of a lifetime when you have a team that doesn't have any talent. You know, may lack some talent. Maybe you have some, but, you know, it's not that at that championship level. Like, now, as a coach, make you work. Sometimes, and I say it's a blessing in disguise, because sometimes with talent comes ego. Sometimes with talent, it comes ego. So on a team with their, when there's, you know, not as much talent, this is you've just become you have a team that's 100% more manageable now, because you no longer have the egos. You know, I remember when, you know, when the Brooklyn Nets were figuring out, you know, who they wanted to coach, you know, Kyrie, KD, and Harden. You remember that, right? And you remember what Kyrie said. He talked about, man, we may not even need a coach, right? Right? That's ego. That's ego. You have players out here who really believe that their talent exceeds their ability to be coached. So, you know, when you think about, you know, making them work, you know, it's also an opportunity for coaches. This is your time to work and shine. You know, you can coach. Can you coach them to peak performance on the level that they're on? You know, of course you can coach a team when you got talent, and you know, you're a great coach there, but can you coach a team at peak performance, whatever, on whatever level that they're on? You know, a peak performance is like the attainable goals you've set as the coach. Like you said, like, based on our potential, you know, can I get them to lose at a lower rate? You know, whatever the case may be, whatever the goal is. But I like what you said, just far as having that potential and creating different types of wins and making them work. But as coaches, it's your time to work as well. You know, I like that.
I love that you brought up the talent factor, and when you don't have it, how it really can be a gift to the coach.
Yeah.
And I think it can be that, you know, that challenge for you to like really have to get back to the basics, really dig into like, what can I bring to the table? You think about like the New England Patriots, Bill Belichick post Brady. All right, you got Tom Brady. Things are kind of good. You can kind of draw up whatever play you want, and you're going to look pretty good at the end of the day. Yeah. And it could cause you to kind of get to the place where like, maybe you're not developing as well. Maybe you're not strategizing as deeply. Maybe you're not having to like really game plan as heavily, because you've got talent that will cover a multitude of errors that you may deliver as a coach. Now, all of a sudden you take that talent away. Now it's like, let's see what you got, coach.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see if you can actually craft up a scheme to cover your gaps, your shortfalls, right? Because you had talent that actually covered your shortfalls as a coach, right? The talent covered your shortfalls. Now we got to see, can your coaching cover their shortfalls? Now it's a test. And frankly, that those are the opportunities where you can learn and you really push yourself to that next level.
Wow.
And if you're able to be successful in those areas, man, I actually think what it does for your confidence as a coach is, man, I think it actually produces, if you talk to any coach that, yeah, I won a championship, but I had so much talent, like, yeah, they feel good about it. Don't get me wrong. They feel good. And it is probably what they praise outwardly.
Yeah.
Kind of praise their clout, you know, like, oh yeah, I won a state championship. But if you actually dig in deep to the conversation with them, and say, tell me about your best coaching experience. Like, tell me about your best coaching success. Where'd it come? Tell me when it happened. They probably will point to things that, man, I really had to work on this. Man, I really had to scrap and claw. And, oh, man, frankly, I don't get credit for it because we didn't win a lot. But I actually think I did my best coaching on that team.
Yeah, come on. It's the most memorable experience. They the drop of a dime, they give you that one experience, and it was that one experience that didn't have a lot of talent, but it was that make them work mentality that brought out such a memorable, a special moment that at the drop of a dime, they just quickly remember it. Man, discover
I think in light of all that we've shared here, you know, I think it can really be summed up in a couple things here. One, you know, you've got a team that lacks talent. Like, what's the approach? One, you got to be realistic with it.
Yeah, for sure.
You got to be realistic with where you are. Two, man, you've got to change your benchmark of what you're graded upon, right? It's got to be about this potential, whether you're exceeding it, reaching it, or falling short of it. Like, that's now our grading scale. During that process, you're going to need to really tap into some dynamic motivators of individual challenges, of intangible charts, creating new taglines that are going to be not necessarily outcome-based, but process-based, make them work, things of that nature. And then you're going to need to wrestle with the reality and not view it as a burden, but almost, as Leon mentioned, a gift, an opportunity that, man, this is going to be your chance to actually do your best work. And you're going to actually probably grow more in this moment, this season, this time than ever before, and allow this as an opportunity and get excited for it. Get excited and see, man, can I do it? Can I do it? And man, it's going to be, I've got a team coming up here this fall, year one team, we'll lead them up. They were 0-10 last year. They're asking me to come in and help. New coaches coming in. I've known the coach for a long time. I don't know much about where their talent is, but you have to assume, coming off an 0-10 year, they aren't competing for the state championship.
Yeah.
You know, I can sit here and probably get complacent if I chose, because I'm working with Calvert Hall lacrosse, just like you're working with Archbishop Spalding lacrosse. Top five lacrosse teams in the country.
Yes, sir.
That already have great cultures, that are already winning. And there's a chance that if we're not careful with our own mental ego and humility, that we could walk away and say, look what we do. Look what we do. Oh, look how easy. Oh, man. And trust me, we are adding value. Don't get me wrong. But as much as I'm proud of the work that I've done at Calvert Hall, which I'm sure you're proud of the work you've done at Archbishop Spalding, these two private schools, high level, man, I know I've got to be at my best when I start in June with this new team. And I can't get complacent. I'm going to have to be really locked in and engaged. I'm going to have to really build great relationships. I'm going to have to really invest. They will expose every shortfall that I have in my role as a leadership coach. They will expose it. Whereas a high level program, they may cover the multitude of errors on our end because they're just good, you know? And frankly, I'm excited for it. I'm not looking at it like, oh man, I'd rather have a state championship team. No, I'm like, let's go. And I'm ready to lean in and go all in and really do the heavy lifting and the work. And it's an opportunity. And frankly, I think if we get that program, let's say we go 6-4. Let's say we go 5-5. It'll probably, frankly, I think it'll be one of our best stories.
Yeah.
I think it'll be one of our best stories if we are able to get the momentum going, right? And shoot, if the momentum gets turned around, you know, maybe they'll retire our jerseys like Travis Hunter and Shador Sanders.
Right.
They turned that program around, and that's all it took was to get a Alamo Bowl win, and they got their jerseys retired. Nonetheless, hey, appreciate you all listening. I'm Adam. He's Leon. On behalf of the entire Lead 'Em Up team, until next time, we are out.